This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:06 a.m. Tuesday the 26th of January, and later this morning, Canna-listed companies served with a winding-up order still remain on Bursa Malaysia. We'll be unpacking that in about 15 minutes. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you, how are you shopping for groceries during MCO 2.0? So do weigh in on that. Let us know what you think. But right now, let's take a quick look at the market.
Well, if you take a look at the US, it was a bit of a mixed bag. Actually, it was only the Dow that was down. It was down 0.1%, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ were in the green. S&P was up 0.4%, and the NASDAQ was up 0.7%, taking their year-to-date gains up to 5.8%. And if we take a look at the the closer to home, yesterday at the close, Japan, Nikkei 225 was up 0.7%. Shanghai was up 0.5%. The Hang Seng was up 2.4%, strong showing that yesterday on the burst there. Singapore was down 0.6%, and the FBM KLCI down 1.3%. It is now at 1,576 points. I don't like this number.
So for some insight into global markets, this morning we are speaking with Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. So for U.S. earnings, this week is set to be the busiest, in fact, with big tech like Apple, Tesla, and Facebook releasing numbers. Do you expect them to beat the street in terms of expectations? And is tech a solid bet, even as the vaccine is rolled out statewide?
Well, we could see kind of like the tech companies post good earnings, but a lot of that good news is maybe already priced into the stock. So, you know, the guidance will matter from Apple and these other companies. Like, what do they see ahead? What do they see service-wise post-pandemic? How much growth is still out there? So, you know, from my point of view, if we get a pullback in the big tech names off good earnings, that wouldn't surprise me. I think the guidance will be very constructive, and on a pullback, I'd be buying the big tech names.
Outside of tech, Joe, are there any sectors that you're paying attention to?
Yeah, we're still looking at the cyclicals like the industrials, materials, financials. You know, we still think we're in the early innings of a global synchronized expansion, lots of fiscal stimulus, monetary stimulus. So I think we still think there's more room to run, particularly as you know, China is growing, the U.S. is coming out of the downturn, Europe's lagging, but we're looking for the cyclicals, the industrials, the dividend payers, materials, financials, and energy.
In a Bloomberg interview, Jeremy Grantham of GMO said President Joe Biden's $1 trillion stimulus plan could trigger an epic stock market bubble. He also suggested that Tesla and Bitcoin provide early signs of a market crash. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, something we're very cognizant of. I mean, I would rephrase that and say we're looking very carefully, watching very carefully for inflation this year. Not reflation, that's a sweet spot, but inflation, because you do have very strong pent-up demand, particularly in services. It's hard to buy a house here in the United States. There's a line to buy a Peloton bike or a car or a truck. You know, how is that going to filter through? Shipping rates are going through the roof. That's going to be the issue. So if you get a steeper yield curve and the fact that the Fed has to taper sooner rather than later, even or just that narrative, yes, you could have a good market pullback here. I don't think it's going to be anything epic. It'll just be your typical, you know, 10-12% pullback, which is typically a buying opportunity for a long-term investor. So it's not smooth sailing. We do have some headwinds to deal with, and I think it's more about inflation as opposed to anything else.
So Joe, speaking of the Fed, what are your expectations for this week's FOMC meeting?
You know, not much. I mean, you know, really the focus is on Biden's fiscal stimulus package. You know, the number being thrown out is $1.9 billion. It's going to be probably half that or, you know, $1 trillion plus. But I think the Fed chairman will just continue to speak and kind of reiterate what Janet Yellen said last week, that we need more fiscal stimulus. We need to get more money to the states, the households that are struggling, to workers that are still unemployed. He will look for support from Congress to make that, you know, push that along.
And given your concerns about inflation, like what you mentioned just now, are there any signals in the market that the Fed might signal an early taper and normalize rates?
No, that would be very volatility creating, because the Fed, you know as well as I do, the Fed Chairman Powell, been very, very adamant about staying lower for longer, letting inflation run hot. But this is going to be a true test, you know, later in the year, I think, for Jay Powell and the Fed. Will they blink when inflation does really start to ramp up? Will they blink when the yield curve does steepen and talk about tapering? But I think that's a story for later this year. But, you know, if we are talking about tapering, that's because the economy is very robust and the jobs are coming in, and we will work through kind of these inflationary pressures. Productivity, demographics lean against inflation becoming too crazy.
Now, the end of the Keystone Pipeline and limitations on federal land drilling indicates a shift in Biden's energy policy from the previous administrations. Joe, how do you see prospects for the shale oil sector given this new paradigm?
Well, I think it's more optics than anything else, because if you look at the fracking boom here in the United States over the last, say, decade or so, most of that was done on private land, not public sector land, because you couldn't frack on public sector land. You're taking acreage or potential supply off the market that wasn't really, you know, out there anyway. So, I mean, for the frackers in the private sector, private land, it's more about, you know, weak oil prices, OPEC plus Russia being in the markets and so forth. That's a bigger issue for the energy markets. But it's important for the Biden administration about optics. It's important for climate change for sure, in terms of like where the administration is headed, renewable energy. So they're signaling renewable energies for sure, electrical vehicles, renewables, solar, and so forth. So, but to me, the oil patch, it's still kind of status quo.
What's your outlook for oil, for the oil sector in the U.S., Joe? Because if you take a look at Brent, it's at about $56 right now. WTI is around $53. So these are much higher than where we were about a few months back. Is this a bullish indicator or just a return to status quo?
No, I think, you know, anything above $50 is welcomed by the energy patch, oil patch here in the U.S. Because, you know, as you know, remember what happened in March and April, they went negative and the global economy imploded. So I think, you know, $50 oil, watch oil, because I do, if it dips below $50, then that tells you that the global synchronized expansion I just talked about is weakening or becoming fragile. And I don't see that happening. China is cooking, you know, 6% plus growth. We're going to have like 5% plus growth here in the United States. Europe will come up behind us. So I expect the energy patch to remain in that sweet spot for the near term. You know, they always overdo it on one side and then there's demand rolling over on the next side. So you know how that is.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, with some insight into international markets. And, you know, we asked Joe about some of the upcoming big tech earnings in the U.S., but there has been some news out of China big tech as well. Tech giant Tencent has surged. Its market values nearly reached $1 trillion U.S. dollars for the very first time. Now, yesterday, it jumped 11%, its best gain since 2011. It appears that traders have been buying bullish derivatives, causing the options market to go a bit crazy. One Tencent contract surged as much as, wait for it, 118,300% on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, Tencent is the poster boy, right, for tech. They've become a prime target for mainland traders flooding record amounts of cash into Hong Kong-listed shares this year. But Tencent has always been that favorite, and that's because it owns WeChat, which is the most used platform in China. And so, and this, I think, would benefit the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, obviously. It's getting a boost from taking part, you know, with this fast-growing IPO market of Chinese tech companies.
You know, when we talked about inflation with Joe earlier, I can't help but notice the asset inflation that we're seeing a lot across the board, right, with a lot of these asset prices, whether it's particularly the equities over here, because with low interest rates, everyone's looking for the returns. And if you take a look at Tesla is worth $835 billion. I mean, yes, Tencent's worth $1 trillion right about now, but just keep that's take that perspective for a second. This automaker, yes, it sells carbon credits, and yes, it's EV and battery technology and all of that. But Tencent is a software maker with global scale and profitability and 1 billion users on WeChat, and it's only worth $1 trillion compared to Tesla?
Yeah, that's why I was really interested in the Bloomberg interview that Jeremy Grantham, who had predicted crashes in the past, and he said this year we may expect an epic stock market bubble, a crash maybe.
Yeah, and what was that he cited? He talked about Bitcoin as well, right?
Tesla and Bitcoin providing early signs of a market crash.
So let's take a look at Bitcoin, all right? Bitcoin right now is $32,600 a Bitcoin. It is up around 12.5% of the year to date. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to Bitcoin is, yes, supply and demand dynamics are there, but what is the intrinsic value of this commodity, right? Or this cryptocurrency, what is it used for? Because at the end of the day, gold can be, not to sound like a bear on Bitcoin, I understand the dynamics at play, but at the end of the day, gold is used, has industrial uses and has uses in jewelry and products like that. What is Bitcoin's other use case aside from being a demand supply proxy to this as a hedge against inflationary policy, a monetary policy, and things like that?
Yeah, you
that
can't wear it, you can't eat it.
Yeah, that's the question. Maybe we don't understand the nitty-gritty of how it works, but at the end of the day, this is a key concern because it has surged significantly. Could this be the makings of a dot-com bubble parallel? That's the question.
Yeah, and we are also seeing other technology companies coming to the fore as well. Kuaishou Technology is another one. So that's also backed by Tencent, incidentally. And they're looking to raise potentially as much as $5.4 billion in a Hong Kong listing. And this would be the biggest internet IPO since Uber listed in 2019.
And that probably lent to the stock rally we've seen in Tencent. Similarly, something happened like that with Alibaba when it was on the verge of listing Ant Group, right? Their stock price did get some support from that. So yeah, let's see how this listing plays out.
So this IPO would see Kuaishou sell about 365 million shares at about 105, 111, 115 Hong Kong dollars a piece, slated to list on February 5th. Now, we are about to look at the subject of the Court of Appeal here in Malaysia, which has ruled that companies served with winding up orders must be delisted. And what does this mean for capital markets? We're going to be asking that after these messages, so stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.